So this morning, I'm using the gospel that we heard last night at the Easter Vigil, the account of the empty tomb at the according to St. Matthew. And the gospel begins with two women making their way back to the tomb in the early hours of the morning. The women are Mary Magdalene and a woman referred to as the other Mary. So who were these two women? Well, Mary Magdalene is a familiar character in the Gospels, clearly in Jesus's inner circle. Mary, we're told, had been possessed by seven demons, and Jesus had cast those demons out from her. So as a result, she became one of his most devoted followers. The other Mary was not Mary, the mother of Jesus, but rather Mary, the wife of Clopas, who's also mentioned a number of times in the Gospels. Sometimes she's referred to as the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And actually, the ancient tradition of the church is that she is Mary's sister-in-law, that her husband Clopas and Joseph, the husband of Mary and adopted father of Jesus, were brothers. That's the tradition of the church. So Mary, this Mary, the other Mary, the wife of Clopas, would have been Jesus's aunt, a close relative, and clearly so close to Jesus, as her name is mentioned many times in the Gospels, also among those women at the foot of the cross who stayed with Jesus when he was crucified. So I just want to pause for a moment and point out how interesting it is that in God's providence, things happened the way that they did with women who were the first to discover that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was risen. The reason why this is interesting is because it would seem that if the gospel writers were telling us a story they wanted us to believe was true, they would have had men be the first to discover the empty tomb. In the ancient world, women were not allowed to testify in court. Their testimony was thought to be inaccurate. And even in the Jewish and Hebrew world, women were not allowed to testify. Now, there are some people who say that the resurrection actually didn't happen, that Jesus didn't raise up the dead, that the early church, the disciples, made up the whole story. But if the story was made up, surely they would have had men be the first to discover the empty tomb, because it's their testimony in the ancient world that would have been believed. So the fact that it was actually women is good reason for us to believe that this is history we're reading, that it actually happened, and that it was women who were the first to discover the empty tomb. These women have wonderful qualities that we see in women in general. It seems like in these gospel stories, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all in agreement that it was women who discovered the empty tomb first, who went there first. It seems like God is showing us what a woman's heart is like, that a woman's heart is compassionate. A woman's heart is drawn like a magnet towards the one who's suffering and wants to alleviate their sufferings. A woman's heart will risk even her own personal health and safety in order to minister to the one she loves who is suffering. We see this especially as Jesus was walking the road to Calvary carrying the cross, because it was women who are mentioned in the gospel who came to minister to Jesus, women who didn't run away at the fearful sight of Jesus like the disciples did, but who were drawn to him even in his suffering. One of the stations of the cross is Saint Veronica, who comes to wipe the face of Jesus. Another of the stations of the cross is Jesus speaking to these women who were gathered to watch him go by. And so the heart of the woman is to seek out the one who's suffering and to try to accompany them in their suffering. Seems to be part of the genius of womanhood, how God made a woman's heart especially And what a gift to us who need this gift in our life. Us men, we just want to fix problems. And so when we see someone with a problem that we don't know how to fix, we tend to run away from it. But women know. Women tend to run to the one who's suffering, not worrying if they can fix it or not, but wanting to be close to the one who suffers, wanting to accompany the one who suffers, to show them love in the midst of their suffering. Actually, it seems like this is how God is towards us often. A lot of times when we go to God to pray, it's because we have a problem that we don't know how to fix. So we think, well, hopefully God will fix my problem. But often it's not God's will simply that our problems would be fixed, but rather, as women often do, God wants to be with us in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our suffering. He wants us to know his closeness and his love, his care. He wants to accompany us during our sufferings. And often, even though we'd like our problems to be fixed, isn't this what we desire more than anything? To be loved in the midst of our suffering, to be accompanied there, to feel God's closeness even there. So we see how God created the woman's heart after his own heart. This is how God loves us. So what was in the hearts of those women as they went back to the tomb? It's important for us to remember that those women didn't think the tomb was going to be empty, even though Jesus told them many times during his ministry that he was going to rise after 3 days. Nobody understood what he meant by that. Resurrection was something that was incomprehensible. It made no sense. They were simply words without meaning. So the women returned to the tomb, believing that they're simply going to be by the tomb where their beloved Jesus' body lays. And maybe we have felt this too, when we love someone tremendously and lose them, how much we want to be by their body. Even after death, we return over and over to the grave of that person because we just want to be close to them. I remember a few years ago, I was doing the burial for a young man who died in a snowmobile accident. He's just in his early 20s, engaged to be married in a few months. His family was absolutely devastated, as was his fiancée, at the loss of their beloved son, beloved brother, and husband-to-be. And I remember watching them at the burial and how they didn't want to leave. And so they insisted even to watch the casket be lowered into the ground. And that wasn't even enough. They wanted to stay there even as the dirt was placed on the casket. They didn't want to leave. They wanted to be close to his body. Certainly, this is what the women were experiencing too, and for good reason. Mary Magdalene, who had lived a life of suffering and sin, a life of humiliation, and Jesus freed her from that and gave her a new life. And she couldn't thank him enough. So she became his most devoted follower. Mary, the wife of Clopas, Jesus' aunt. How fascinated she was with Jesus, listening to his words so many times, seeing so many miracles, inspired by him, consoled by him. She too didn't want to leave the dead body of her beloved nephew. So both these women, to great risk to themselves because of the Jewish and the Roman authorities who would have been watching the tomb closely, both these women make their way to the tomb in the early morning. But they don't expect for the tomb to be empty, but instead they expect to visit the dead body of Jesus there and to simply pray outside the tomb. But probably not even praying with hope, probably not praying with faith. These women believe that death was definitive, and that their relationship with Jesus, while so great during their life and his, was now over. So they go to the tomb weeping, disillusioned, disappointed, without hope, without any belief that Jesus is a part of their future, but only a part of their past. And maybe this is where we can relate a little bit to the women too. Maybe we felt like we were close to God at some point in our life, that we knew him, that we'd been consoled by him, that he'd touched our hearts. But maybe it seems that it isn't that way anymore, and we don't know where he is, and we're afflicted with doubts. We're tempted to lose hope. It seems like God was a part of our past, but now it seems that the past is over, and maybe there's no future for us with God. How much we can be like the women. There was something alive in us, but now it seems like he's dead, and our soul might be dead too. Yet what can we learn from the women here who went to the dead one? The important thing for us to see is that in their sadness and grief, in their doubts and hopelessness, they went anyway. They went seeking the one who they thought was dead, and they discovered the one who is actually alive. And what do we see happen to the woman, to the women? They, thinking that Jesus is dead, return to the one that they think is dead, encounter the one who's actually alive, and he breathes new life into them. So much so that they're so full of life that they now go tell others about this life that they've encountered. It's not just that Jesus has made them whole again and filled them with his loving presence. He's filled them so much that they cannot but go share him. Their cup is overflowing, and so they need to find new people whose cups also need to be filled. The women went anyway, even though they were in grief, even though they were full of doubt, even though they felt hopeless, they went anyway, seeking the one they thought who was dead, and instead the one who is alive found them. What an important lesson for our spiritual life. It tells us that when God seems distant, we must seek him anyway. When I'm sad and fearful and have lost my hope, I must pray anyway. When I do not know what to believe, when my world has been turned upside down, I must go to Mass anyway. When we go to seek the one who we think has died within us, Jesus can come. Jesus, the one who is truly alive, more alive than me or you. There's no dead place in my heart that's any match for his all-powerful love. When I encounter the risen one, I cannot help but be touched by the new life that he comes to offer me. At this Mass, in just a moment, we celebrate the sacrament, not of the dead, but of the living. It's not Jesus' crucified body that we receive here at the altar. It's Jesus who's been crucified and raised. It's his risen body that we receive at the altar. Full of life, full of love. Everything that we feel that we're lacking here is offered to us. Jesus, body and blood, soul and divinity. Jesus, who's fully alive. Brothers and sisters, today on this Easter, let's go to meet the one whom we fear we've lost, so that he, the living one, can bring new life to our hearts and fill us so much that we want to bring this new life of Jesus to others as well.